AM. My name is Dean Winter. I'm the Mayor of Kingborough, and it's my pleasure to declare this meeting open. And my first job is to let everyone know that we are recording this meeting, both on Facebook and also through the software, which means that the meeting will be publicly available on our website within the next few days. But it's also, because we're doing it this way, available on Facebook, and you can feel free to watch the replay anytime you like. So the next item is to acknowledge the traditional owners of the land in which we meet, the Muwinina people. I acknowledge the contemporary Tasmanian Aboriginal community who have survived invasion and dispossession, and they continue to maintain and fight for their identity, culture and Indigenous rights. The attendees this evening, I have checked just before the meeting started that we have all of our councillors with us, and that is Councillor Winter, Councillor Westwood, Councillor Bastone, Councillor Cordova, Councillor Fox, Councillor Grace, Councillor Midgley, Councillor Street, Councillor Wallace and Councillor Reet. From our staff this evening, we have our General Manager Gary Arnold, our Deputy General Manager Tony Ferrier, our Chief Financial Officer John Breen, our Executive Manager of Engineering Services David Reeve, our Executive Manager of Governance and Community Services is Daniel Smee, Manager of Finance Tim Jones, Manager of Compliance and Community Development is Scott Basham, our Manager of Development Services is Tasha Tyler Moore, our Stormwater and Waterways Engineer is Alex Aronson, our Communications and Engagement Advisor is Sarah Wilcox, our Urban Designer is Paul Donnelly, and our Executive Assistant is Amanda Morton. Apologies, we don't have any. We've got a full contingent of our councillors with us online tonight. Confirmation of minutes. So on page one, there's a recommended motion that says the minutes of the open session of council meeting number 10, held on the 9th of June 2020, be confirmed as a true record. Does any councillor wish to move or second that motion?
I'd like to move that. Thank you, Mayor.
By Councillor Fox. Looking for a seconder.
I'm happy to second that.
By Councillor Reet. It's the motion, as I just read. Councillors, if you unmute yourselves, I'm just going to ask just all those in favour to say aye.
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 And anyone against, aye. Please say aye. No.
I don't know.
And that is carried unanimously. The next item is the workshops held since our last council meeting, and on the 10th of June we held a meeting to discuss our draft budget. Next item is declarations of interest. Does any councillor have an interest they'd like to declare? And it sounds like there are none, so we'll move on to transfer of agenda items. Does any councillor have an agenda item they'd like to transfer? There being none, we move to questions without notice from the public. As we know, it's difficult to do questions without notice from the public given we don't have a gallery. It's probably a good opportunity, though, to say that we are working towards having our next council meeting on the 13th of July held within the council chambers, which we're excited about. We are not quite sure whether we're going to have a gallery at this stage. We'd obviously like to. And we're looking forward to that being available for people to ask questions without notice, which leads me, of course, to our next item, which is questions on notice from the public. And just for members who might be watching, you're always welcome to ask questions on notice, and you can do that by writing an email to kc@kingborough.tas.gov.au. And if you do that 1 week before a council meeting, it means that your question will be printed in the agenda and responded to, just like these two questions have in this in this council meeting. And the first one is from Caitlin Sly, and she's asked a question about the cost of the Back Our Business advertising campaign. There's a response there on page two. And the second question is from Karen Camino, and that's about illegal parking on Somerleys Road. And there's a response there from Renee Clark. At this point, have I missed? I just got a text message. General Manager, should we also be endorsing the minutes from the special meeting? Have I missed that? From the budget meeting?
through you, Mr. Mayor. It doesn't appear on the agenda. We'll make sure it's on the agenda for the next council meeting.
Excellent. Thank you. So we move to questions without notice from councillors. Does any councillor have a question without notice? Looking at the comments, I can see Councillor Cordova's got one. Councillor Cordova.
Thank you, Mayor. My questions relate to the Mayor's communications, the Mayor's calendar. Is now an appropriate time to ask questions relating to those which appear in the appendix?
Yes, I think that's a good idea.
Thanks very much. So my first question, Mayor, is could you please provide me an update about the meeting with Alison Standard MP regarding the Blackmans Bay Beach and hunting field development issues?
Sure. The meeting, we pretty regularly catch up with members for Franklin anyway. They were the two, I put that because they're the two topics we discussed. In terms of hunting field, the discussion was really around the infrastructure concerns that council's raised publicly through a notice of motion last year. The council has a resolution that says that we would like the infrastructure, soft and hard infrastructure, to be upgraded before the development goes through. And the other thing I was able to do was update Ms. Standen with the update on Blackmans Bay Beach and how we're progressing in reopening that. Councils will be aware that Member for Franklin has run a bit of a campaign and a petition around getting Blackmans Bay Beach South back up and running for swimming, and so I wanted to make sure she was informed of all those issues.
Thanks very much, Mayor. My follow-up question to that is also on the Mayor's diary. It's about the meeting with Mr. Andrew Barry concerning the Margate development. Do you have an update about the Margate development?
Sure. Mr. Barry recently commenced with the Callis Group, and he reached out to us, I think, just before COVID-19 really broke out and requested a meeting. We haven't been able to do it until now. Discussion was, I had the general manager and deputy general manager with me, and we discussed the history of the project, especially because Mr. Barry's new to that organisation. From a planning perspective, what the business is looking to do. The good news is that the Callis Group is very enthusiastic about the development, and they've expressed a desire to go ahead with construction, retail construction, in line with what they've previously been granted a development application for. So it was good to meet with Mr. Barry. I don't think we'll see anything happening in the immediate future in the next few months, but I can see them. Their suggestion to us is that they're working towards getting the tenants locked in so that development can proceed.
Thank you, Mayor. That's all from me.
Thanks. Any other questions without notice? So, Councillor McBastone.
Thank you, Mayor. I have two questions. One is regarding Watson's Road in Kettering. This is a narrow dirt road with very deep gutters and several blind corners. Would it be possible to have signage similar to that, to what exists on Manuka Road, reminding drivers that this is an area used by the community? The Kettering walkers use this road often, and there's always people riding horses along there. Perhaps we could also have a slow down dawn till dusk, because there's a lot of roadkill on the road. Would this be possible?
Mr. Reeve.
Through you, Mayor. Look, happy to have a look at that one and report directly back to the councillor.
Thank you very much, Mr. Reeve. My second question is, there's a large number of trees being felled in the area behind the Margate Oval and the Margate Men's Shed. I believe this is council land, and I'm wondering why this last corridor of vegetation is being cleared.
I am unsure who to throw this to, so I'm going to pass to the general manager, and he's feel free to pass it on himself. General manager.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. Unless one of my colleagues has more detailed information, I think we'll have to take that question on notice, Councillor Bastone.
Thank you very much. That's all.
Started on the DA.
Mayor.
Hang on, I've got you just after. I've got Councillor Midgley, then Councillor Street, then Councillor Grace.
I was just on that Margate issue. That's that development for the elderly people that we passed some months back.
Ah, yes. We'll still provide the answer on notice so that it's in the agenda paper.
Yes. I realise that that's where it is against, but this seems to be an extraordinary number of trees coming down. So I do realise that's where the elderly people's homes are going to be built. Thank you.
Councillor Midgley.
Thank you, Mayor. I've got a question regarding the Spring Farm area. Will there be pedestrian access points through to Twin Ovals and the sports precinct? And if so, could councillors please be provided with a map showing this?
Mr Ferrier or Ms Tyler Moore?
Through you, Mayor. Look, I'd rather take that on notice, I think. I don't think anything's specifically designed, but I'll take it on notice and provide more information after consulting with a number of other staff.
Thank you.
Councillor Street.
Thank you, Mayor.
Councillor Street. Councillor Street, if you're speaking, we are unable to hear you. All right, I'm going to go. Councillor Grace, did you have a question without notice?
Just on the Margate development, Mayor.
Sure.
You mentioned the other day you spoke to the Callis Group, and I've been speaking to the Callis Group, as you know, for a long, long time now. Also, I've been speaking to residents in our municipality. I think it would be appropriate if we could get an update on when the development does take place. I heard, or I think you might have mentioned that council planners are keen to bring the shopping centre right to the street front. That's not what we'd like to see. Can we get an update on what's going to happen there if Mr Callis decides to immediately start? Because I have heard in the last few days that there are two people interested in a lease for a supermarket there.
Thanks, Councillor Grace. There's a development application which has been approved and approved some time ago. If the owner of the property wanted to amend those plans or build something other than what's been approved, they would need to meet the requirements of the planning scheme. It wouldn't be up to council to decide what they build, except to administer the planning scheme and ensure that whatever they build is compliant with the scheme. And that was the context of the conversation we had with them.
Yeah, absolutely, and I agree with that. But if you know, it'd be a shame if we've got to go back unless they want to do some domestic changes to that site as to their previous development application, because this has been going on far too long. Thanks, Mayor, and I appreciate you and the General Manager very much for bringing this on as much as you can with the Callis Group.
Thanks, Councillor Grace. Councillor Street, you're back.
I am, thank you, and I'm looking forward to getting back to the council chambers as much as anyone, I think. Mayor, my question is to the General Manager. General Manager, can you explain to us the process for handling complaints of ratepayers and other interested persons about council, whether that be council staff, acts of council?
General Manager.
Through you, Mr Mayor. I didn't hear the last part of your question, Councillor Street, but in relation to complaints about council staff, I think in the first instance, I would point any member of the community to Council's Customer Service Charter, which clearly outlines the process that we undertake when we receive any complaints from any member of the community, whether that relate to a complaint about our infrastructure, for example, a pothole, which would become a service request, or whether it relates to a complaint about a staff member. The Customer Service Charter also outlines not only the process we would undertake, but the way in which we would endeavour to close the loop in any matter that's raised with us.
Did that answer, Chair, missing the end of your question mean that you didn't answer it correctly?
No, look, I don't think it did. I do have a follow-up question, though, and that is there any other document apart from the Customer Service Charter that governs how complaints are dealt with? It just seems to me that the Customer Service Charter is particularly light on process. It simply says that we'll deal with a complaint within 15 days, I think it is, without providing any process for which we actually deal with that complaint once it's received.
General Manager.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. Well, of course, as the Charter outlines, if a complaint is received, we will undertake investigation. Wherever possible, we aim to close those investigations quickly and communicate back to the individual or individuals that might have raised the matter with the Council. But if there's a specific matter that Councillor Street would like me to look into, I'm happy to do that at any time.
Are there any further questions without notice from councillors this evening? In that case, we'll move on. The next item. These questions on notice from councillors. Question one was on building permits from Councillor Grace. Question two was on sealing of the road from Allotment to Lunawana from Councillor Bastone. Three was on dog poo bags at Silverwater Park and signage from Councillor Bastone. And question four is on dog ownership in Kingborough. That's from Councillor Westwood. With a question, with that answer to be provided at a future meeting. So with that, the open session of Council is adjourned and the Planning Authority will commence at 5:48 p.m. First item on that Planning Authority session, just to remind people that Council is now sitting as a Planning Authority. The first item is PSA 2019-5, the Planning Scheme Amendment, rezoning from light industrial to community purpose and associated development application, DA 2019-655 for change of use at 50 Huntingfield Avenue, Huntingfield. Looking for a mover and a seconder of the recommended motion, which is on page 10. Would anyone like to move the motion?
So moved.
Moved by Councillor Watts. Councillor and needing seconder.
I'll second.
Second by Councillor Fox. Councillor Watts.
Thank you, Mayor. Am I stood on? Yes. Thank you, Mayor. A couple of weeks ago, we got together with the rezoning and agreed to that to go ahead. And from that perspective now, we needed to, if you'd like, receive any representations, which there were two, and to collate those representations and send them off to the Tasmanian Planning Commission. And it's no one in the community has objected. And on that basis, there is really nothing to add other than those two representations from Taswater and who was the other one from? Tas Fire Service. So I endorse the recommendation and suggest other councillors do the same, Mayor.
Thanks, Councillor Watts. Any other comments, questions?
Mayor, I just have a quick question.
Sure, Councillor Measley.
It's just in regards to the traffic impact study.
and the impact of the traffic. As we know, there is already a lot of discussion in regards to infrastructure and matters in the Huntingfield precinct, and I'm wondering at all if there's any comment regarding traffic matters.
Point of order on that.
Councillor Voss.
Point of order. There's nothing to do with traffic or impact of traffic. What we're talking about tonight is the actions that we take in relation to having agreed to the rezoning.
Councillor Midgley, I've just done a quick search and I can't find reference to the traffic management impact study in this. Is it in the report? Maybe perhaps I've missed it.
I'm just wondering why there wasn't any, or why perhaps it wasn't included or raised as any kind of discussion.
I think Councillor Wass's point of order probably answered the question, but just to clarify things, I'll ask Ms. Tyler-Moore just to confirm. Ms. Tyler-Moore.
Through you, Mayor, the traffic impact and the impacts of the development were done in the previous report that went to council meeting where it was agreed to initiate the amendment. The purpose of this report is just to respond and report on the representations that we would need to then provide to the Commission. So that's why there's no mention of traffic in this particular report. It's all in the previous report that was in May.
Thanks, Ms. Tyler-Moore.
Thank you.
Any further comments or questions from councillors? That being the case, the recommended motion is printed of Councillor Loss. Firstly, would you like to sum up? I'm going to take the silence as a no. The recommendation is printed on page 10, and it's the council resolves that Council notes the representations to PSA 2019-5 and DA 2019-655 together with the officer's response. B, Council recommends to the Tasmania Planning Commission that the conditions of Taswater provided in Appendix A of the Draft Development Permit DA 2019-655 is to be replaced with their amended representation received by Council on 26 May 2020, and C, pursuant to Section 39.2A of the Formal Provision for Land Use Planning Approvals Act 1993, Council put forward a copy of this report to the Tasmanian Planning Commission. It was moved by Councillor Wass, seconded by Councillor Fox. If you can unmute yourselves, councillors, I'm going to go through my list and ask you to say yes if you agree with the motion and no if you do not. And I'll start with Councillor Westwood.
Yes.
Councillor Bastone.
Yes.
Councillor Cordova.
Yes.
Councillor Fox.
Yes.
Councillor Grace.
Yes.
Councillor Midgley.
Yes.
Councillor Street?
Yes.
Councillor Wass?
Yes.
Councillor Reet?
Yes.
And Councillor Winter is also a yes, which means motion is carried unanimously. The Planning Authority session is now adjourned, and the open session of Council will commence at 5:54 p.m. We now have notice of motion. It's from the Deputy Mayor. Deputy Mayor, would you like to move that motion as printed?
I would like to move it as printed. Thank you, Mayor.
Excellent. Looking for a second to the motion. Second by Councillor Cordova. Councillor Westwood.
Thank you, Mayor. I think that tonight's meeting is an example of how well our meetings can go when they're live streamed. I think they've certainly exceeded my expectations. Staff have adapted really well, and apart from a few hiccups, I think we've all contributed really well with the council meetings being live streamed. And I've certainly had quite a bit of feedback from the community saying how much they enjoy being able to attend our council meetings from the comfort of their own lounge room. And we certainly welcome people into the chambers, but particularly at this time of year when it's cold and wet, I really do think it contributes a lot to open government and transparency for us to be able to offer attendance via Facebook like we do. So this notice of motion tonight is to hopefully allow for live video streaming of council's meetings when we are back in the council chambers. With the easing of restrictions and the easing of social distancing requirements. I hope that we will be back meeting in person soon. I certainly do enjoy that interacting in person more than I do like this via a screen. But certainly for the community, I think it has been a really welcomed advancement in how we reach different parts of our community, and the feedback I've had is that everyone has enjoyed being able to log in from the comfort of their own home, log in and out as items come up of interest, and listen to the discussion and the debate that we have. And I certainly think that adds a lot to the transparency of council activities. So this notice of motion is to ask that our live video streaming continue when we are back in the council chambers. Thank you, Mayor.
Further speakers?
I'd like to speak.
Council Fox.
I recently watched some live streaming of a former meeting that was run at the council chambers, and I was surprised to see how few councillors were actually on the screening. I think the mayor and the deputy mayor and one or two others were visible, and I presume that bringing in an additional camera, as the officer's report states, will make a big difference to that. I'm hoping from a democratic point of view, that every councillor actually gets to be seen, as well as the staff. Just wondering if that's the intention.
Sure. Is this might be Ms. Wilcox, or I'm happy.
Yep, through you, ma'am. Happy to answer that. Yes, I'm. You know, where possible, the two cameras, we've positioned them, and I'm able to zoom in and out a little bit, but it's not always practical. So a third camera would really help that complete spread across the council chambers.
Great. Thank you.
Councillor Cordova.
Thank you, Mayor. Firstly, a question before my substantive. The question is, will questions without notice from the public be conducted as per normal once live streaming takes place, or will there be any changes for that?
Great question. Mr. Arnold, what are your thoughts?
Through you, Mr. Mayor. Councillor Cordova, in accordance with my earlier answer this evening, whilst we are targeting the 13th of July council meeting for a return to the chamber, at this stage, allowing a gallery, given our social distancing challenges, is proving problematic. The short answer to your question is that it is clearly our intention to have the opportunity for members of our community to attend a council meeting at the earliest available opportunity, but we need to work through the state government's social distancing guidelines in the next few weeks to see whether that's possible for the meeting on the 13th of July, but it's certainly our intention.
Thank you very much to the General Manager, and if I may now start my substantive, please, Mayor.
Sure.
I am very proud to be seconding this motion, and I think it speaks volumes about the good faith and good intentions with which this council progresses to try and enhance transparency and convenience where possible for all of the ratepayers, and indeed all people who are taking an interest in the activities of this council and the great things that are going on in the municipality. I think it's not only a great thing to enhance the convenience and reduce that tyranny of distance. We are a large council area, and it certainly makes it easier for people who, for example, if they're on Bruny Island, they don't have to travel all the way to still engage with the council activities. But it also enhances transparency. And to that extent, I think this is the real core win that achieving this live streaming of council meetings will engender, because people will be able to watch and take an interest and kind of dip in and dip out, whereas right now you have to travel into the council chambers, and then there's kind of this feeling that you've got to sit there through the whole time, whereas in this way, by it being live streamed to Facebook and other social media platforms, you'll be able to dip in and dip out and see what's going on. I think that will remove obstacles and it will also enhance engagement because it makes it that much easier for people to take an interest in council activities, the local issues that are going on in the community. And something I spoke quite at length about during the budgeting process was my relative dismay or disappointment, I guess, in the level of participation and participatory budgeting that took place. I think one of the things that will remove those barriers to people feeling like they can get involved and have their say about local issues, including budgeting, is if they are able to kind of habituate to watching the council processes and procedures, watching how council debates take place. So I think I really look forward to this part.
Have I dropped out or has Councillor called over?
Councillor Cordova, I think.
Okay. Councillor Cordova, just confirming you're not there. We'll hit pause on your time and go to Councillor Midgley. I'm sure Councillor Cordova, just an internet connectivity issue for those at home. Councillor Midgley, are you still with us?
I am still with us, even though it's wild and woolly outside in Howden. So I just, really have not much further to say from Councillor Westwood and Councillor Cordova, just that it is provides an accessibility offering to people who perhaps would not like to attend a sometimes very long councillor meeting. They can drop in and drop out as they choose, and also they can go back and have a look at it. And I also think for governance understanding for our primary school and high school students, it provides some interest to them and an understanding of local topics and what local government means. I just have a question in regards to the purchasing of the camera and the cost of that. And considering we are going into a tight budget, I'm just wondering if we do all agree with this motion, then what happens in regards to that? Is there funds in this financial year budget, or have we another item that we can pull it out of from next year?
Mr. Arnold.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. Thank you for the question, Councillor Midgley. If Council do adopt this motion tonight, there are funds in the current financial year, and I'm mindful that that is coming to an end shortly.
Thank you.
Councillor Cordova, are you back with us?
I am. I seem to have dropped out there, Mayor.
Continue. Yes.
Well, that's okay. To finish my train of thought, thank you. I appreciate the opportunity, Mayor. It's going to enhance engagement. It will hopefully enhance people becoming habituated to having their say, getting involved, and taking a more active interest in local issues, no matter how big or small. And I hope that that will therefore pay dividends for a more engaged participation in the budgeting process as well. Thanks, Mayor. Back to you.
Great. Thank you. I think I had a hand up from Councillor Grace.
Yeah. Just on that, I agree with this wholeheartedly. But people that haven't got computers, will they be able to come and buy a copy? We do download it, as I understand, and people can purchase it. Will that continue, Mayor?
Purchase a copy of the video, you mean, or...?
Yeah, well, as I understand, General Manager may correct me if I'm wrong, but I understand that when we tape council meetings, people could come and buy a copy of that tape. Now, if we go on Streamline, I meant to ask this before and I forgot about it, can people that haven't got computers be able to buy a copy of the meeting?
General Manager.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. Councillor Grace, thanks for the question. The current arrangement pre-COVID was that council audio of the council meetings in the chamber was posted on the website and is available for any member of the community to listen to by access through the website. It's proposed that a similar arrangement would be put in place for the video should this motion be approved tonight.
Yeah, okay, that's fine. Thank you.
Further questions or comments? That being the case, Councillor Westwood.
Thank you, Mayor. I don't have a lot more to add. Just to clarify something in relation to the streaming of staff, I don't expect that staff will be included in this unless they want to be. I think they're slightly different to us as elected representatives, and some may or may not be comfortable being live streamed on Facebook. So happy for that to happen, but that's not necessarily the intent of this motion, if that makes staff uncomfortable. And I guess just picking up on that point about accessibility, absolutely makes council meetings more accessible, but I think it also helps in making councillors more approachable and accessible to the public if they can watch online and get to know us a little bit better. I certainly think that will help us as elected representatives to engage with the community. So I ask my colleagues to please support this motion.
Okay, a motion is moved by Councillor Westwood, seconded by Councillor Cordova, is that Council's relevant policies and procedures be updated to allow for live streaming of Council meetings held in the Council chambers. And if you unmute yourselves, Councillors, I'll now run through the list. If you agree, please say yes. If you do not, please say no. Councillor Westwood?
Yes.
Councillor Bastone?
Yes.
Councillor Cordova?
Yes.
Councillor Fox?
Yes.
Councillor Brace?
Yes.
Councillor Midgley?
Yes.
Councillor Street?
Yes.
Councillor Wass?
Yes.
Councillor Reet?
Yes.
Councillor Winters, yes. Motion's carried unanimously. Next item is number 15, and that's petitions still being actioned, and there are no petitions still being actioned. Number 16 is petitions received in the last period, and at the time the agenda was compiled, no petitions had been received. We now move to officers' reports to council, and the first is 17.1, financial hardship policy, and the recommended motion is down on page 27. Looking for a mover and a seconder of that recommended motion.
I can move that.
Councillor Cordova.
I'm happy to second.
Seconded by Councillor Fox. Councillor Cordova.
Thank you very much, Mayor. What we're looking at here is the report to replace Council's interim financial hardship policy with a new financial hardship policy. And this comes at a time when going through not just a biological and a health crisis, but also an economic crisis, places additional burden on the ratepayers of this municipality, and therefore it also places an additional onus on us as a council to provide reasonable and proportionate hardship policies where possible, and that's what this report outlines. So particular thanks to the author, Mr. Jones, and also the authoriser, Mr. Breen. What we're looking at here is essentially a recommendation to adopt the new report, and also which details postponement of payments, conditions of postponement, the remissions of rates, and essentially discusses that. I guess one of the key takeaways, something to bear in mind, is that when we are administering rates as a council, this is as a form of taxation rather than a source of like a fee for service kind of a thing. So it's supposed to be equitable, it's supposed to be fair, and it's supposed to recognise when ratepayers, be they residential or be they commercial or industrial ratepayers, are unable to pay what the provisions are for that. I would like to offer one of the staff the opportunity to speak to the various tenets of the proposal, of the policy, for any changes that they'd like to particularly highlight. So is there a staff member that would like to speak to that?
Councillor Cordova, what's your question exactly?
Thanks, Mayor. My question is, what are some of the highlights from the new policy that members of the public should make themselves aware of.
Mr. Breen.
Yeah, through you, Mayor. I guess the key change to the policy, and this is very much based on advice from Legat in regards to offering the ability to waive rates for industrial and commercial tenants. We very much targeted this at small businesses, so those with turnover less than 500,000. So it's very much targeted at that smaller type business. And based on the amount of revenue that they've lost over a period of time, there are a number of benefits that we could pass on to the ratepayer to assist them during what's a difficult period of time. So that's probably the key change from the interim policy that was put in place at the start of the COVID-19 pandemic.
Thanks very much. Just to conclude my contribution, Mayor, on this, it's important to note that the residents and the commercial and industrial ratepayers of the community are going through a very difficult time right now, and so too is the council in terms of its financial situation. We need to remain vigilant to making sure we remain in a healthy situation, and so as the conclusion reports that this council is not necessarily in a financial position of being able to grant a large number of rate remissions. However, we certainly need to, where we can, show our compassion via a reasonable, proportionate and timely hardship policy. And so I commend this report to the council. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you. Councillor Bastone.
Thank you, Mayor. This is just on the tenants of council properties. I note there's no mention of the tenants at the elderly people's units that we have on Bruny Island, and I'm wondering whether any of those have applied for financial hardship and whether this policy will cover them.
Mr. Breen.
Through you, Mayor. Look, I'm not aware of them being any requests from those tenants, but certainly any tenant at the moment that's looking for rates relief, we would certainly, and rental relief, we would certainly look at that in a favourable light, particularly at the moment. So, but I will check and let you know about the whether anyone has actually applied.
Thank you very much.
Any further contributions?
Hi, Mayor. I just have a comment and a question.
Councillor Midgley.
It's fantastic that our council and other councillors are putting forward these hardship policies in a time where compassion and consideration is at the forefront of our work. I just have a question in regards to the page, so I'm just trying to look at what page number it is, page 31, and where it asks the question, if a landlord, will you pass the benefit of this remission on to your tenants? I'm wondering, what if they say no?
Mr. Breen.
Through you, Mayor. Then we basically, if we're providing a rates remission, it's essentially to be passed on to the tenant because the tenant would essentially be paying the rates through the landlord. So our expectation would be that this is being passed on. So if they put no in that box, then they wouldn't be eligible under this arrangement.
Thank you. That's all, Mayor.
Further comments or questions?
Mayor, I guess I'm a bit uneasy about that particular comment from Mr. Breen, because I do know that some people do pay their rates and don't pass them on to tenants, and they may well be suffering hardship. And I'm also aware that some tenants actually received quite considerable rate relief, or at least rental relief from the state government already, but perhaps the landlord isn't receiving that benefit. I'm just not sure if the facts of the matter need to be flushed out very carefully before the decision is made, and that we don't lock ourselves into one scenario or the other and disadvantage people. Would Mr. Breen like to comment?
Mr. Breen.
Through you, Mayor. Certainly, our aim is not to disadvantage anyone. Essentially, what we're looking at here is that there's a scenario where there's a tenant who is unable to pay its rent and also its rates. So what we're looking at doing is saying, if that's the case, then we're happy to look at a remission of the rates proportion, as long as that then the tenant is not being required to pay those rates. So that's really what we're trying to do, is say, rather than the landlord being out of pocket for the receipt of those rates, then the council would be certainly look favourably on remitting those rates. So the aim is to try and ensure that if we do provide a benefit to the landlord in terms of rates, then they're passing that benefit back on to the tenants.
Thank you.
Councillor Grace.
Just one question. We get a copy of who has applied for this hardship before they're paid, or
no,
this document allows it to automatically be done by staff, would it?
So the document doesn't provide automatic payment, but it does provide delegation to the Chief Financial Officer. Mr. Breen, would you like to comment?
Yeah, through you, Mayor. On page 30, under dot point 6.5, there is a delegation there which shows that minor payments can be agreed to by the Chief Financial Officer, the Manager of Finance, the Executive Manager of Governance and Community Services, and anything larger is to be approved by the General Manager.
That's fine. Thank you.
Thank you. I don't have any other speakers lined up at the moment. I've got a question which Alder asked earlier, but I've only just thought of it. This policy, are there any major differences between what Kingra's doing that we're aware of? I'm not asking for exactly, but are there any major differences between the hardship policy of Kingra Council compared with other Hobart Metro councils?
Through you, Mayor. Essentially, I know we're basing ours on the Legat proposal. So I think as long as councils generally are applying a similar sort of proposal that Legat has put forward, that would be very similar to ours. Probably the one area there could be some difference in is the annual turnover rate. So we've set ours at $500,000, so clearly targeting small businesses. I'm not sure of what other councils are doing in that particular area.
Great, thanks. I knew you would be able to do it off the cuff, but I was just interested in overall. There's no further speakers have indicated they want to speak. So if that's the case, I'm going to ask Councillor Cordova to sum up. Councillor Cordova.
Thank you very much, Mayor. I think we've had a healthy debate or discussion around the financial hardship policy tonight. Fundamentally, this policy is about compassion. It's providing ratepayers who are suffering financial hardship some relief via alternative payment mechanisms that still require them to pay council rates and charges, but to do so in a way that is, I guess, understanding of their particular financial position. And where a person is unable to pay rates or charges, when do you, for reasons beyond their control, this policy, I guess, sets out the guidelines and the definitions under which, or the criteria under which, they're able to seek that provision. I think we are a compassionate council and a council that cares deeply for the well-being of ratepayers and residents and visitors, whether they're residential, commercial or industrial. And so I commend this financial hardship policy to the council. Thank you.
Thank you. So the motion is moved by Councillor Cordova and seconded by Councillor Fox. Is that council adopt the attached financial hardship policy? And I am going to go through our list. If you agree, please say yes. And if you disagree, please say no. Councillor Westwood?
Yes.
Councillor Bastone?
Yes.
Councillor Cordova?
Yes.
Councillor Fox?
Yes.
Councillor Grace?
Yes.
Councillor Midgley?
Yes.
Councillor Street. Councillor Street. I'll come back to you. If you're with us, maybe you can type in the chat box. Councillor Wass.
Yes.
Councillor Reet.
Yes.
Councillor Winter is also a yes. Councillor Street, are you back with us? Just got a text from him. Yes. I know this is not perfect for those watching at home, but Councillor Street has already let me know that we know he's dropped out once, but he's dropped out a few other times while he hasn't been speaking, and so it does make it difficult. But he's carried yes. unanimously, and he said yes now. That's great. Okay. Remembering this is probably our last time. The next item is the community grants COVID-19. The report starts on page 32, and there's a recommended motion on page 33. Would
I'm happy to.
Moved by Councillor Cordova.
Second.
Second by Councillor Midgley. Councillor Cordova.
Thank you very much, Mayor. What we're looking at here is the recommendations for grant funding for a range of projects across the community grants quick response COVID grant round. So at our meeting on the 27th of April, we determined to spend a certain amount of money as part of a quick turnaround grant funding allocation, the maximum grant being $3,000 for this. And so what we're looking at here is that there were a total of 7 applications which were received seeking a total of $17,000. Following assessment against the criteria, grants to the value of $14,515 are recommended for funding, and the leftover funds will remain unspent. This is one example, I think, of the council being able to react quickly in order to support the community in a particularly difficult and stressful and distressing time. But it also means that the outcome of this will be a number of fantastic projects that are really going to help the community. So what we're seeing now is that this grant round is utilising funds that have been allocated in the second round of the 2019-2020 Community Grants Program. And given the extraordinary circumstances facing many community groups, it was deemed appropriate to waive the usual rule that more than one project from any community group per year would not be funded. So we're able to provide some really important grant funding at a really important time for the community, and the benefits of this will resonate throughout the community for some time to come. So with that, I commend the community grants round to the council. Thanks.
Thank you. I have Councillor Westwood and then Councillor Bastone. Councillor Westwood.
Thank you, Mayor. I echo Councillor Cordova's sentiments. I think it was really great that council community grants were redirected to community organisations to help others in our community. I would like to propose or ask the mover and seconder if they might be open to a slight amendment to the recommended motion, that being to accept the allocation for funding as outlined in the attached table and approve an amount of $300 for Yo Fence. Should I outline the reasons for that now?
Well, I think you probably should if you want them to support it.
All right. So in going through, there were 7 applications and only one that wasn't supported, and that was for an organisation called Yo Fence, whose proposal is to offer free fencing classes for Kingston youth whilst promoting social distancing while exercising. The reason this, the agenda paper notes that whilst not meeting all aspects of the essential grant criteria, the recovery working group felt the unsuccessful applicant, Yo Fence, was an innovative response to the coronavirus pandemic and appropriately targeted. So upon further investigation, the issue with the essential criteria that wasn't met was that part of it would be contributing to the wage of the person to run the fencing classes. So that is obviously ineligible, but there was a $300 infrastructure component to that, which is for the purchase of some yoga mats. So that part of the request is eligible for some funding. There's also part of the grant request that that could benefit from some in-kind funding, $180 for a 1.5 hour hire fee for 12 classes that council could potentially waive. The other thing is that this might tie in fairly nicely with a care program that council has recently launched, where small groups of activities are run to help our youth and other members of our community. And so perhaps I was thinking a good compromise might be that in accordance with the grant guidelines, we provided $300 for the infrastructure component and then asked our community services team to reach out and include YoFence as part of the care program, which would also benefit them because they would benefit from some of the free publicity. So I wonder if the mover and seconder might be open to providing that additional small amount of funding to YoFence.
I support that.
Councillor Midgley.
That's too many.
Okay. Just for Ms. Morton's benefit, Councillor Westwood, could you just run through the change so that you can put it up on the screen?
That Council A approve the allocation for funding as outlined in the attached table, and B approve an amount of $300 for YoFence.
And you were organised and already had those words with her, I can see. Very. Would you like to continue with your contribution?
No. No. I think I've said pretty much everything I need to say. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Bastone had a question.
Yes, I do. It's in relation to the West Winds Community Centre mosaic project, of which they do many and do them exceptionally well. It says that it's to be installed at Silverwater Park, and some time ago when I was president of West Winds Community Centre, we also got a grant to do a mosaic project which was to be installed at Kettering, and there was a large or many problems in where we could put it. The council were very prescriptive in where it could be placed, and I'm just wondering, has this been looked at this time? Have we discussed where it's going to go? And the fact, is it an appropriate place that they wish to put it in Silverwater Park, considering we yet plan to do work in Silverwater Park?
Mr. Smee.
Thank you, Mayor. The issue, as I recall, with the one at Kettering related more to its location being adjacent to the Channel Highway. Mm-hmm. So certainly, unless it was going to be up the top of Silverwater Park, those issues in relation to proximity to a roadway wouldn't come into consideration. But Councillor Bastone makes a very good point about we are going through a master planning exercise for Silverwater Park, and there would need to be a referral to our urban design officer to ensure that any sculpture was able to be included as part of that master plan and located appropriately.
Thank you.
I don't have any speakers lined up at the moment. Would anyone else like to speak?
I'll speak, Mayor.
Councillor Midgley.
Thank you. So, am I speaking to the amended motion? Is that correct?
It's not amended, but by your agreement, it is the motion rather than an amended motion.
He's done that one. I support this motion. I think it was a great initiative that Council did in regards to reaching out to the community to look at the term of innovation. As we can see, we've got a very big, it's not a huge amount, I wouldn't say, and there is definitely some unspent funds, as we'll see in the report, but it does actually provide an interesting scope from a freezer to a seed bank and things like that, and the scope of what people have thought about in their response to innovative to our community grants for COVID-19.
So well done to all of those community members, and also thank you to Councillor Westwood for doing a bit of research in regards to the Yo Fence to look at a matter that I guess we know that for young people it is important to have activities available for them. There is not a broad reach across our whole municipality, and it is something that someone in our community has presented, you know, a new and innovative idea to do something. Unfortunately, it doesn't meet the full grant criteria, but it's great that we can support with the purchasing of some mats, and perhaps that provides some options for the community member, and also, as Councillor Westwood said, in regards to the youth program, the care program, perhaps there could be a linkage in there. So that's all for me. Thank you.
Councillor Grace.
Just regarding this amendment, we've had these discussions over the years with these grants, and when we've had one deferred by staff that doesn't meet the criteria, was this part of their application to that they wanted to buy these mats for this amount of $300? I have some concerns if it wasn't spelled out properly in the application. In the past, we would not deal with this until we got a further report. Even though it's only $300, we would not do anything unless we got a further report from our staff.
So, Councillor Grace, you're referring to past practice. Look, my history here doesn't go back anywhere near as far as yours. I guess the question is, is the question whether are we able to do this? Is that what you're asking?
Well, when they lodged their application, in their application, did they mention they wanted to buy these mats? Could Mr. Smear answer that?
Through you, Mayor, yes, the purchase of the mats is part of their application, and it certainly can be approved by Council tonight as meeting the criteria for our program. So there's no problem with what's proposed in this resolution.
No, I'm happy with that. Thank you, Mayor, but I'm pleased that it was mentioned in their application.
Thanks, Councillor Grace. Further speakers? Councillor Cordova, would you like to sum up?
Thank you very much, Mayor. I think that we are providing very timely and welcome community grants for the organisations of Kingborough Community Missions, Yog Fence, Taroona Neighbourhood Garden, Westwinds Community Centre, Friends of Library, Kingston, Taroona Community Association and Kingborough Helping Hands, the $14,815 that we will be providing them as part of this quick round of grant funding will come at a time to help buoy community spirits and enhance community cohesion. And it's my great pleasure to be able to move this motion that helps Council engage and enable its community to do good things, especially at a time when the community needs it most. So I wish those organisations all the best with their projects, and I encourage the community to reach out, get involved with those organisations, see what they're doing, and experience the benefits of those grants for yourselves. Thanks very much, Mayor.
Thank you. Okay, so the motion as moved by Councillor Cordova and seconded by Councillor Minchley, just for people at home who might be watching the live stream, in the local government meeting procedures, by agreement, a motion can be simply changed if the mover and seconder agree to it. And so Councillor Westwood suggested that the original motion is printed be changed, and Councillor Cordova and Minchley both indicated they supported that. So the motion we're actually voting on is that Council A, approve the allocation for funding as outlined in the attached table, and B, approve an amount of $300 for Yo Fence. As I said, it was moved by Councillor Cordova and seconded by Councillor Midgley. I'll run through our list of councillors. Say yes if you agree and no if you do not. Councillor Westwood.
Yes.
Councillor Bastone.
Yes.
Yes.
Councillor Cordova.
Yes.
Councillor Fox.
Yes.
Councillor Grace.
Yes.
Councillor Midgley.
Yes.
Councillor Street.
Yes.
Councillor Wass.
Yes.
Councillor Reid.
Yes.
Councillor Winter is a yes. Carried unanimously. Okay, the next item is on page 35, or starts on page 35, and it's Stormwater System Management Plan. There's a recommended motion on page 39. Who would like to move and second this?
I'll move.
Second. Moved by Councillor Cordova. Looking for a seconder.
A second.
Didn't actually catch who that was.
Councillor Westwood.
Councillor Westwood. Councillor Cordova.
Thank you very much, Mayor. This is a very timely report, and it's almost auspicious, or should I say inauspicious, that we're currently receiving a massive dumping of rain this evening here in Kingborough as we look to pass the report summarising the findings of Council's developed stormwater system management plan. And there's a number of recommendations here which I can take us through or which will come out in the discussion tonight. But essentially, at this time, there's been an incredible amount of work that's gone into what is a very comprehensive and detailed report that makes a number of very sensible and pragmatic recommendations. One of which is that what we're looking at here is a sort of high-level assessment of the current level of service provided by Council's stormwater network. And I would have to say that the management plan makes a very interesting reading indeed and demonstrates, I think, the kind of investment that will be required and the kind of attention to detail that will be required to make sure that we are providing the kind of stormwater network that is fit for purpose. And so to me, some of the key highlights from this is that this stormwater management plan identifies that we've got about 9,500 pipes across Kingborough. We've got 4,400 manholes approximately, 3,700 entry pits and 5,000 house connections. Now, of those, 32% have less than a 39% AEP capacity. Now, AEP is the annual exceedance percentage. So when we talk about a 1 in 100 year flood, that is a 1% AEP. So when we talk about 32% of, so 3,000 of the 9,500 pipes have a less than, they could withstand a less than 1 in 2 year flood or stormwater event. Similarly, 53% have a less than 5% AEP. So another way of saying that is half of Kingborough's stormwater pipes could not withstand a 1 in 20 year storm event. So these are quite alarming, but it's also crucial information for us to have at our fingertips in order to implement sensible policies to try and mitigate some of this. And so I really do want to thank Mr. Aronson for compiling, that's the stormwater engineer, for compiling this incredible report showing that nearly 1 in 3 pipes in Kingborough, 28% of the pipes in Kingborough, have a diameter of 225 mil or less, which means that they're prone to blockages. It's an insufficient diameter. And so the council should consider adopting a minimum pipe size for future developments. I do have a couple of questions that I would like to ask, but I also just want to point out that this report is very comprehensive and very interesting, and particularly in terms of its flood risk management and going through H1 to H6 of the various risk levels that are provided, which outline our current 10 hotspots or 10 risk areas. So without meaning to cause alarm, it's worth noting that this report mentions that there are 33 hotspots that were identified in the municipality of Kingston, and the top 10 being Channel Court Shopping Centre, Coles Kingston Plaza, the Kingston Gateway Plaza, and you can read the rest there on page 37 of the report. I think the recommendations are the takeaway message there, but spend some time familiarising yourself with the maps because it really is quite interesting to read. We need to incorporate the findings of this report and the overflow mapping into our planning processes, and that's a really big takeaway for me. We need to develop a stormwater management policy to support our ongoing planning. We need to undertake detailed flood risk management studies, and we need to provide preliminary overland flow mapping to emergency agencies and then implement this in our ongoing strategic planning. We're living through an age of increased climate-related events as a result of anthropogenic climate change. we are going to see more storm surges. I note that today they anticipated 50 mil of rain, and in the May 2018 flood events, it was about 180 mil of rain that we received during those May 18 flood events, which caused such inundation across our municipality. The detail of this report allows us to identify where the risk is and allows us then to take steps to mitigate that. So I would like to, again, thank Mr. Aronson and also ask a question. My first question is, what was the AEP of that May 2018 flood event?
Mr. Aronson.
Through you, Mayor. So the May 2018 event was an interesting one because it came through as different rainfall cells. So it was very different from area to area. So, and it's the AEP event is also depending on what sort of time frame you look at. So I know in Hobart, they had a 180-year event locally, but other regions experienced much less. So it's really difficult to say, but we just know that some areas experienced severe flooding and some were more fortunate.
Thank you. My second question, Mayor, is it says in the report that many pit inlets in Kingborough are less than 500 mil deep and therefore that small size means that they're prone to flow surcharge, and it says that insufficient pit sizes resulting in insufficient flow capture is quite common throughout the municipality. My question is there a sense of how much it would cost to rectify to best practice, is there a sense of the cost to Kingborough at this moment to bring things up to standard?
Mr. Aronson or Mr. Reid or both, if you've got something to contribute.
Through you, Mayor. I don't have a figure, but I would say it's quite likely it's too costly. You would rather have to look at new investments or where you are already doing upgrades, that you bring that up to scratch. But going across the whole municipality to bring everything up to current standards, there will probably be better investments made in looking at sort of more strategic planning and having the information at hand, knowing where you would have flooding or surcharging and the likes. But maybe Mr. Reeve has some more to add.
Through you, Mayor. Look, I'd support that viewpoint there. I mean, the problem we've actually got out there is there's a lot of infrastructure out there. What we try and concentrate on is the areas which are going to cause the most grief to people. So rather than taking a blanket rule that we'll go and replace all of our pits out there, we would just concentrate on the ones where we've identified these particular issues, particularly where there is a pit there where we know that if it overflows there's not a nearby overland flow path for it to actually travel through safely there. It's more likely to actually come down into someone's driveway or into someone's property. So it's all about targeting where we're actually going to spend money. So I think that's the most important thing. So this particular study there is a fairly high-level study, and what it does do is it provides lots of things for us to actually follow up on.
Thank you, Mayor. One more question with your indulgence, or maybe two. The stormwater data was found to be incomplete, where approximately 60% of pipe invert levels were missing and approximately 1% of pipe dimensions were missing. Can I get a sense of how much more work needs to be done to bring our data up to speed where we can make accurate assessments of the situation? How much more work needs to be done in data gathering alone?
Mr. Aronson.
Through you, Mayor. I don't have an exact response to that, but what we do is that we do collect data when we have particular investigations that we want to make, like when we have a catchment investigation in the CAPEX program. If data is missing, we do detailed survey to collect the missing data so that we can do an accurate catchment investigation and go into the details to investigate where we do need to do our upgrades and where upgrades are best spent as well, where they would be the best investment. But across the whole human municipality, I don't have a number. But that's sort of the approach.
Sure. Thank you, Mayor.
Just to add to that one, it is fairly common across all municipalities there that they will not have this type of information on their pipes there. So having invert levels on all your pipes there appears to be more of a luxury than a normality in terms of other municipalities as well. So we are no different to anybody else.
Thank you very much for those answers. My final question, Mayor. The study area included the urban areas of Taroona, Bonnet Hill, Kingston, Blackmans Bay, Margate, Electrona, Snug, Conyngham and Kettering, and I note that there was some limited data available for Kettering. It also mentions the drainage network and design drawings that were looked at for Spring Farm Estate and Whitewater Park. My question is actually about the formal planning instrument. It says that currently Council does not have a formal planning instrument to manage the design and implementation of stormwater infrastructure within the Kingborough Council local government area. So I would like somebody to give me an understanding of what needs to be done to rectify this and what a formal planning instrument might achieve and when we can implement that if it is indeed something that is necessary.
Mr. Ferrier, perhaps? Or any... I may be wrong. Mr. Aronson, even. Who knows?
Yeah, through you, Mayor. So what we're saying there is we're really looking for some documents and guidelines in how to do best practice stormwater management for new developers. And the current planning scheme is quite limited, and we do know that in the new Tasmanian planning provision, it will be even more limited. But we are working in collaboration with the other South Tasmanian councils to develop a stormwater management strategy, not to replace the existing strategy, but a framework and guideline so that developers and people who want to develop land, they can actually know this is what council expect of you to do, and here's some advice on how you can achieve the outcomes we're looking for. Basically to provide more guidance. And that's something we're currently working on and hoping to have progress by the end of this year.
Thank you, Mayor. That's all from me.
Councillor Grace.
Yeah, thank you. I think it's a very good report too. Very well thought out. Of course, I've been through possibly four major floods in Kingborough over my lifetime, particularly when I worked there as an employee. We have recognised the areas, or not all, but some of the areas that is accustomed to major problems. The solution to fix that, I'm not quite sure at this stage how we go about, because the other thing in the report, and correct me if I'm wrong, some of the problems we've had, and I guess we still have it, I'm not employed as a worker at Kingborough now, so I don't see it, but years ago it was the high tides that then restricted the outlets, or we had the blocking of the sand dune down at Kingston Beach, and that caused all the backup in our stormwater system. I guess that will always happen. And the thing that I like about this report more than anything is the fact that we are now looking at major looks at the subdivisions when they go in, that they're adequately sized, the pipework. And we know that in the past they weren't. I think it's a good report.
Thanks, Councillor Grace.
I don't know if David wants to answer, but there is major problems, and we're going to have that forever with climate change and all that, so forth. Doesn't matter how Mickey Mouse system we have, we've got outlets, and if they get throttled down by high tides, well, then the flow can't escape. No one wants to talk.
Mr. Reeve, Mr. Reeve.
Through you, Mayor, So that's called coincident flooding there. So when we do look at flood studies there, we look at both the tidal effects and also the fluvial effects as well at the same time there, so we can pick up both of those ones there and combine the worst-case scenarios there. So, yes, that's correct. Quite often what you'll get is if you get a high tide there, that in itself can cause the major grief in terms of flooding. Just by the fact that the pipes just the water just can't get away from the pipes there. So when we do go down into the detailed studies that we do, and we do a number of those ones there, we always take that into account.
Thank you for that.
Further comments or questions? Councillor Cordova.
Thank you kindly, Mayor, and thanks once again to the author of this report and the authoriser for giving us such a comprehensive snapshot, high-level view of what needs to be done. We have heard in the discussion tonight that some quite alarming statistics, and it's auspicious that this is happening on a day of, you know, a big storm in Kingborough, but this gives us a roadmap out, and it tells us we've got a lot of work to do, but there is a way out, and it identifies some of those risks and challenges and puts us in a great position to be able to help mitigate the effects of those storms when they happen. As Councillor Grace pointed out, these things do happen periodically, and it's all about how do we best prepare our community, keep our property and people safe, and also prepare and plan ourselves for the future, recognising that there will be more of these in the wake of anthropogenic climate change. We've heard that 1 in 3 of our stormwater pipes currently cannot withstand a 1 in 2 year storm. 1 in 2 of our stormwater pipes cannot withstand a 1 in 20 year storm. We've got some ineffective entry pits and lintels that are ineffective. We've got some insufficient pit capacities across the municipality. And, of course, we've got that challenge where 40% of the stormwater pipes we're talking about in the network are on private land. And so, you know, without correct easements or standards. And so there's some challenges there. But despite all of these alarming statistics, I reiterate that by council having done the hard work now and invested in this high-level plan, being able to move forward with an evidence-based and data-driven approach by utilising the excellent skills of the staff and management who have been working together to give us this high-level policy, this high-level report, we are now able to use the best information available to hand to fix some of these problems and plan for the future. So I want to thank everybody involved with this, and I highly commend this stormwater system management plan to the council. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you. So the motion is on screen, and it was moved by Councillor Cordova, seconded by Councillor Westwood. It's as on screen and as printed in the agenda, so I won't read all the way through it, but I will go through the list. So if councillors want to unmute themselves and say yes, if they agree with the motion, and no, if they do not. Councillor Westwood.
Yes.
Councillor Bastone.
Yes.
Councillor Cordova?
Yes.
Councillor Fox?
Yes.
Councillor Grace?
Yes.
Councillor Midgley?
Yes.
Councillor Street?
Yes.
Councillor Moss?
Yes.
Councillor Reed?
Yes.
Councillor Winter is also yes. The motion is carried unanimously. We move on to Howden Public Open Space, the recommendation on page 146. Would anyone like to move or second that motion?
I'll move that, please, Mayor.
Moved by Councillor Midgley.
That.
Seconded by Councillor Reet. Councillor Midgley.
Thank you, Mayor. And I would firstly just like to acknowledge and thank Mr. Donnelly for an extensive report in response to the motion I put in regards to the Howden open space. Mr. Donnelly has raised some very important points, some valuable information on local knowledge, river growth and matters reconsideration for the future. And I would just like to state that I was not here to push an agenda that council should purchase this land. I understand that it would have been a big amount from the limited funds of public open space, and I absolutely respect the recommendation regarding not to purchase it. I do believe, though, and it's why I put the point forward, that it was an opportunity when Bonnie Vale development occurred, there was no provision of an open space or any walking linkages for the subdivision. I believe in our future planning, we need to think about our walking and access
messages and consideration of the growing number of families that are moved to areas and the way that we do get around. I hope that this motion would provide speculation for future planning and thinking for the future. And I again thank Mr. Donnelly for the providing further provocation rather than a yes or no to the motion of public space acquisition. Howden is blessed with so many wonderful natural settings, coastal pockets of reserves on the foreshore and the amazing Peter Reserve close by. When we talk about nature play and the play strategy, Howden ticks the boxes for this. Mr. Donnelly has thought broadly and considered the active transport links because of how Howden residents access the local nature play spaces along the busy roads is a very important consideration. There's a number of safety aspects to consider in this. The points raised in the cycling and active transport are extremely valid. There is not a day goes by when I cycle or walk along Howden and Brightwater Road that I fear for my personal safety, and I've lost count of the number of times I've stood back and wish the car that has driven past me to slow down. Walking when I had children in a pram and a small child on a bike was even more dangerous. And I feel like when I ride my bike to pick my kids up from school that I live life dangerously as I cycle along Howden and Brightwater roads. Cars zoom past, overtake and blind corners. The report also raises important matters re the growth, the cluster of people living in Howden and the impacts re future growth around this part of Kingborough and the growth that is happening in this cluster of Kingborough as well. But it also, for me, looks at a very holistic understanding, and it raises the point that when we consider our road upgrades, we should also consider the impact and how to include active transport. So I think it's really great that we have this viewpoint on council that rather than looking at our roads as a separate road upgrade, that we actually consider how can we provide an active transport link when we are considering our road upgrades, and are these, what are our linkages to our open spaces and our local playgrounds, and how do we ensure that the community can get about safely? I also note that in the recommendation, there are points regarding public consultation in line with our consultation strategy. And I think, again, that that is a very valid point, that we actually talk to the local community members in regards to these upgrades and actually ensuring that we have their views and opinions heard. So, may I just have a few questions in regards to some of the recommendations. The recommendation B, when it says consideration be given to the establishment of active transport links to Brightwater Road and Howden Road in conjunction with future capital works projects associated with these and directly adjacent sites. My question on this, I think it's a great recommendation, and I've shared some of the reasons why, but I just wonder the strength of that recommendation in regards to and how I guess we operate in council when we don't have, perhaps we do not have an active transport strategy. So how can we ensure that if there are future upgrades regarding the roads, Long Howden and Brightwater Road, how can we ensure that active transport linkages or consideration will be part of the, consideration and development of that, and it's not just sort of like a hearsay recommendation, it is actually part of planning when we do consider these aspects.
Mr. Reeve?
Through you, Mayor. So certainly the active transports part is a big thing that we're actually looking at the moment there. So in terms of all of our roads, in fact, I was only meeting with a resident earlier last week there about just this same thing. So everybody's actually looking at where they can get that amenity in their own streets. So there is a number of different documents that we're in the process of actually putting together at the moment there. One of the ones that we're in the process of doing is a footpath set of guidelines for footpaths there, which will talk about not only the type and the material and where they would actually go, but also, you know, the width of those footpaths and all the different other requirements there as well at the same time. And we'll certainly look at the locations where there is missing linkages at the moment as well at the same time, and also how that also feeds into some of our developments going forward as well. So clearly there's still quite a lot of work in terms of actually trying to cover up on some of those aspects there, and it's not just also about pedestrians, it's also about cyclists and a number of other users as well at the same time. So this is probably, I guess, the first step in that process.
Thank you. And I just have a question further for Mr. Reeve, Mayor, if that's okay, just in regards to when we talk about in Howden, there is in sometimes people's values around playgrounds, there is different views. So I'm just wondering in regards to thinking about these capital upgrades and the consideration in regards to the consultation and things, is that something that Mr. Reeve would consider, consulting with communities when they are looking at perhaps these options in our rural areas?
Mr. Reeve.
Yeah, through you, Mayor. Yeah, so that's an important part of how we actually do things there. In fact, the meeting that I was referring to was down in that sort of area, if you like, there, where we actually had different residents there who have different viewpoints in terms of what they would actually like to see. Some like to maintain the character of the street, and others would rather see something which is more of a hardscape type solution to it there. So it's a matter of actually trying to manoeuvre your way through that sort of process, but also keep within a set of guidelines as well. So the consultation part of it for particular instances of where we might want to put something is actually quite important. So for any of our projects, capital projects in particular, that forms part of what we would do automatically anyway, so to varying different degrees there. So for some other areas there where we know that there's particular characters within a community there, it becomes even more important to actually have that consultation.
Thank you. More questions. In regards to the reference regarding the bicycle committee, I'm just wondering, what does that consultation look like, e.g. would it be a consideration as part of the development of the Kingborough bike plan?
Mr. Reeve.
Sorry, Mayor. Yeah, look, I think the Kingborough bike plan is actually a very important piece of work. So at the moment there's some loose plans that have sort of been talked about over a number of different years from various different people on the bike committee there about things they would actually like to see. The Kingborough bike plan has got the ability to actually tie all those together plus add other things in there as well at the same time there and provide a longer term type look at where we might want to actually have not only bike paths but shared paths and a number of other different things as well at the same time there. So I think that certainly that aspect of it that's tied up with bikes would actually form part of that plan.
Now, just a bit further on to that question. So this is the recommendation, and in the recommendation it notes to discuss with the Kingborough Bicycle Committee. I'm just wondering, what is the process then for that, so that the Bicycle Committee actually has awareness of the fact that this was raised in a report by a council officer and they actually have a noting of this report?
Mr. Reeve.
Yeah. Through you, Mayor. So normally in these situations there where there's actually a recommendation there that and a resolution from council that talks about referring something back to the bike committee, then that gets formally referred back to the bike committee there. Clearly at the moment the committees aren't actually meeting, but it just means that this particular one at their next meeting will form part of their agenda.
Okay. Thank you very much for that clarification. And just in regards to the note in the recommendation regarding community consultation, I'm just wondering, would community consultation happen now to understand the values that the community have in regards to open space and in regards to active transport links, and actually to understand some of the road safety matters that are occurring in Howden?
Mr. Reeve.
Yeah, through you, Mayor. I mean, that may be better answered by Mr. Donnelly, but in terms of what we would actually look at, we would normally only look at going into consultation, or in particular detailed consultation there, where we had planned projects actually occurring. Clearly, consultation is a very time-intensive thing to actually do, and it also builds up expectations in the community as well. So it's important to actually have something that's intended to come out of that process. So that's where we normally would have a project either coming up at sometime in the next, say, 3 to 4 years, or where there's a particular issue that's actually come up in the community there that actually needs to be, moved through. So we wouldn't just do consultation necessarily without actually having some other driver.
So I'm just wondering if a driver in regards to that, where in the report it actually states there is no, there is very little active transport links. And I've also shared the fact that there is some very definite safety considerations into actually accessing our local nature-based, I guess, spaces in Howden. I'm just wondering if it does just, and there is speculation that the growth of the area is only growing. At what point then do we allow just the continuation of, standing aside as cars speed past, jumping off your bike, blind corners where cars are overtaking in an unnecessary area, and the fear of people actually allowing their children to safely walk and ride around due to the fear of being able to get actively around the kind of suburb. I'm just wondering, just from that kind of a picture, do we have to then have a project, or how do we understand and actually make some actions happen to ensure that we move on this?
Mr. Reeve.
As I mentioned, I guess you would have to actually identify specific issues in specific areas there, which we can always actually look at and investigate. I guess what I was saying before is that we probably wouldn't go into just general consultation in any particular suburb, whether it be Howden or any other suburb there, without some other driver there to actually say that's something that we actually need to do. Clearly there's a number of other areas in the municipality as well that arguably might be in a similar situation there. So if there's potential or particular safety issues that are actually on a particular road or on a number of different particular roads there, it's certainly something that we can actually investigate either one by one or as a group. And then generally what actually happens from there, they may or may not actually find their way into projects depending on whether they're actually a priority or not. So that's generally the process with all those ones there. The other approach to go out there and actually, if you like, do all the consultation on a whole area without actually having that sort of rigor behind it or having that driver behind it, just tends to actually create a lot of expectation for particular things there when there may not necessarily be the projects to actually support it going forward.
Thank you very much. And I just noticed that there is the council continue to work towards identifying acceptable sites for local present space and facilities in Howden. Mayor, I am interested at all if Mr. Donnelly wanted to talk to us before in regards to if Mr. Donnelly wanted to answer any of those questions that I put forward. I don't know if all I spoke too fast and didn't get him to have a chance to say anything.
Mr. Donnelly, did you have anything to add to those answers provided by Mr. Reeve?
Thank you, Mayor. Through you, Mayor, I can speak to a few of the points raised by Councillor Midgley. What I would say is that it's important to recognise that under this recommendation, the community consultation process would be undertaken in conjunction with an identified capital works project. So that's that's in a situation where a capital works project is identified either along Brightwater Road, south of the Bonnievale Estate, or along Howden Road, from the Brightwater Road intersection back to the Channel Highway. As those works come online, then those community consultation activities would be undertaken as part of those identified projects. That would be considered an online community consultation activity. The alternative scenario, as Mr. Reeve has explained, would be that a community consultation activity would actually inform the process of identification for capital works projects. in the first instance, that community consultation activity would be considered an offline activity. And one of the important points raised by Mr. Reeve was managing community expectations associated with the consultation activities that we would undertake in that scenario. So that's what I wanted to add in terms of the community consultation question. Is there anything else that Councillor Midgley would like clarification on?
That's all fine. Thank you again for the report.
Councillor Fox.
Thank you, Mayor, and I really appreciate the questions asked by Councillor Midgley, being a fellow resident. I've lived in Howden since 1982, and I know that there's been a lot of development in that time and a lot of money in our public open space account, and we're in a very unfortunate position where we don't have anywhere to spend it, and possibly that money will be spent in other areas and we're going to miss out. And it does concern me that it's a very active community in Howden. A lot of people walk along the foreshore or visit each other. It's a lot of mothers and fathers with prams and dogs trailing along on leads, luckily. We've got boats coming down here and using the boat ramp, as well as kayakers and fishermen. And we've got some wonderful natural play spaces along the foreshore, which we're very lucky to have. And some of those areas have been developed in the past and maintained by council. And I'd be very pleased to take Mr. Donnelly to them and show them what has been done in the past and what may be improvable to those spaces. But there are quite a few road safety concerns, especially on the busy roads. People take shortcuts from Blattens Bay to Margate. We, as the Howden Progress Association, have asked council to reduce speeds through Howden successfully. They're now 60k instead of 80. And I guess there has been a lot of community consultation already. We have been actively trying to consult with council, asking them to come up with a place for us to recreate, for us to have an area for children to play safely and away from traffic. And so far we have failed. So I guess I'm really pleased with this particular recommendation. It's a shame that we can't use or couldn't have found a place earlier when all these subdivisions did go through, and it hasn't happened. But I do agree with the staff recommendation that we don't go ahead with purchasing these blocks at maximum price, rather than we should have bought them before they were at subdivision stage where all the work's been done. And they've escalated enormously in value. But if there is any other development coming forward, I'd really like to see very serious consideration of purchasing some of that land for a community play space that is accessible. And to that end, I think it's a wonderful recommendation that we make active transport links along our main roads, but are also vigilant that we don't miss the next opportunity. I must say, though, the Wingara Gully was public open space that was donated to council, and it's a large area which is very popular with walkers and people who appreciate the natural environment of that gully. There are even caves in that area, and it's very pretty in spring. But the access to that gully is very difficult and very steep and quite dangerous and slippery. So that might be something that council could consider improving, that comes off Draper Road and into that gully. So I'd be happy to help with Mr. Donnelly and also communicate with the Progress Association. But I think it's an excellent report and an excellent outcome to Councillor Midgley's motion. So thank you very much.
Councillor Cordover.
Thank you, Mayor. I'd like to reiterate some of the sentiments expressed by my fellow councillors. Investment in public open space and recreational assets should encourage people to be more active and social within their local environment. And one of the most effective ways of achieving this is through the establishment of safe and convenient pedestrian and cycle infrastructure. When I worked at the Heart Foundation of Australia, one of the things we were constantly talking about was making healthy choices easy choices. And the way you do that is by a whole of government, but also a whole of community, healthy by design approach. So I think it's crucial that at this time, I guess this particular motion serves as a warning to us about why it is so important that at Spring Farm Estate, at Whitewater Park, at Kingston Park and at Huntingfield, we make sure that we implement the correct planning right now at these early stages, that we make sure we press upon the developers the importance of having active transport links throughout the municipality to encourage an active and healthy lifestyle. We can't retrospectively do that. It's far more costly to try and put these things in afterwards. And if there's anything that I got from reading about the Howden Public Space, the Howden Public Open Space motion before us, it's that opportunities from time to time do come up. And had this been the perfect plot of land for a perfect park, had it been appropriately priced, and had we had the financial resources available to us, it would have been such a shame to miss out on that opportunity because of a lack of active transport linkages and infrastructure in place. So I'd like to support what my fellow councillors have said when it comes to providing adequate active transport linkages throughout the community. And I would reiterate that it is at the planning stage that we need to make these provisions. We shouldn't be trying to retroactively try and fit a round hole or a square peg through a round hole, so to speak. We need to make sure that we've done the work early to make sure that these active transport linkages are in place and that we have a network throughout our municipality. So with that, I actually support this motion. I think it's sensible. It makes sense. I think there's a complexity of issues around trying to find some adequate public open space in Howden. But as we can see here, it is a much more complex issue than just finding a single plot of land and putting some playground equipment and street furniture in there. It's actually so much more about connecting the community in safe and accessible ways. Thank you, Mayor.
Okay. Any further comments or questions in relation to this item? That being the case, Councillor Midgley, would you like to sum up?
I'm fine, thank you, Mayor.
Okay, the motion was moved by Councillor Beachley, seconded by Councillor Reet. It's as on the screen and also as printed in the agenda. And so I'm going to ask people to take themselves off mute. And I will now ask you to say yes if you agree with the motion and no if you do not. Councillor Westwood.
Yes.
Councillor Bastone.
Yes.
Councillor Cordova.
Yes.
Councillor Fox.
Yes.
Councillor Grace.
Yes, yes.
Councillor Midgley?
Yes.
Councillor Street?
Yes.
Councillor Loss?
Yes.
Councillor Reet?
Yes.
Councillor Winter is also a yes, which means that is also carried unanimously. Information reports is on page 147. There's a recommendation on page 147. Anyone like to move or second this motion? Moved by Councillor Loss. I think it's Councillor Westwood in the background.
No, Councillor Reet.
Councillor Reet, no. Seconded. Is any Councillor, you're welcome to go first if you like. Councillor Loss, but just for noting, anyone have any questions or comments?
No, just said yeah.
Yeah, thank you. Comments or questions? Okay, that being the case, the motion was moved by Councillor Loss, seconded by Councillor Reet, that the financial report for the period 1 July 2019 to 31 May 2020 be noted. All those in favour, please say aye.
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 Those against? Motion carried unanimously. The next item, I believe that's the last one. The next item is on page 171. It's confirmation of items to be dealt with in closed session. The motion reads that in accordance with Regulation 15 of Local Government Meeting Procedures, Regulation 2015, Council by absolute majority move into closed session to consider the following items: confirmation of minutes, application for leave of absence, and rate rebate covenant. And that was Councillor Bastone that moved, and looking for a seconder.
Councillor Fox, actually.
Oh, Councillor Fox moves, and
thank
seconded
you.
By
I'll second it.
Councillor Bastone, thanks for saving me. All those in favour, please say aye.
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 Anyone against, please say no. That means the motion is carried unanimously in accordance with Council's meeting audio recording guidelines policy. The recording will cease in a minute, but before we do, thank you to all of our Facebook viewers for joining us this evening for what is hopefully our last remote meeting. As you heard earlier from Councillor Westwood's motion, we are going to live stream our Council meetings in future, even when we return to the chambers, so you can continue to log on and find out what's going on at your council and in your community. Thanks again for being with us.